I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, and count it all joy that we might come to his house for this sacred ordinance. The announcement I would have is you might see that I have a brother, Brett Hampton, will be bringing our benediction, and I thank you for your willingness to serve, Brad. I wanted to share, as this time of season, a time of year that the world recognizes the birth of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who we come to celebrate today, and to remember that this service is about remembering him. And as the cloth will be removed later in the service from this table over the emblems, you will see those words, that we are called to remember him. Those that were in our prayer service this morning might have seen a common theme. I was awakened late in the 3 o'clock hour, and between 4 and 5 this morning, I laid in bed praying and pondering for each one of you and for this service alike. And so I felt it's necessary that I share these words to you that a sister shared in our testimony service. The time is not ours. The time is not ours. This is the Lord's time. And as we see the things of the world and the fearfulness that the world tries to bring in the lives of God's people, things are not falling apart, they're falling together for the Lord's work to go forth. And so it's our calling that we must go. We must go and do the Lord's bidding and his work. I'd like to share these two scriptures for a call to worship. First, you may recognize this from the book of Luke, chapter 2. Speaking of that thing that can beset us, of fear, and come into our life, and what the Lord has to say about that. Starting in verse 10, it says, "But the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you this is born in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this is the way you shall find the babe. He is wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." You know, I find it interesting that as our Savior, Redeemer, Jesus Christ came into this world, he was wrapped in cloth. As he left this world in the flesh, he was wrapped in cloth. But he broke the bands of death, and we come to celebrate that life eternal through that pattern of life in which he has provided, that we might be clean and white as snow through his sacrificial blood. And lastly, these words, we will sing shortly a little bit about this from the book of Samuel, chapter 7 and 12. Samuel placed a stone, and that stone was, he called it Ebenezer. And it goes on to say that this was the Lord helped us. And in the Hebrew translation, that Ebenezer is the stone of help. And it is this day that we come to remember that stone, that rock of revelation of Jesus Christ, in which our faith is placed upon and built upon, that we would know that he is a stone of help, that he shall not move, and he is there for you, each one of you, in all the times of your life as we turn to him and look for that steadfastness. And this, for he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he is our Ebenezer, that he is that stone of help for your life. Let us join together now as we prepare to move into this service by the singing of hymn number 25, Come Thou Fount.
great God of Israel, thou who art from everlasting to everlasting, the great I am, this congregation assembles today to lift our voice in praise and in thanksgiving unto thee, and to invite and to ask of thee, Father, that you would send that abiding comforter, that Holy Spirit of promise, that it might be here with us today. That under the influence of that good Spirit, may this service be presided over. Under the influence of that good Spirit, may the message be brought. And under the influence of that good Spirit, might the sacrament of the Lord's Supper be administered this day, that each and every soul might be partakers. Father, we would present these things unto thee, and again offer our thanks and our praise to thy holiest name. We ask all these things, our Father, in the sacred name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
There are many scriptures in our three standard books that talk about how the saints will be blessed if they give. One of my favorite is this one. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. O Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we thank you for giving us all that we have, all that we've had, and all that we'll ever get, for giving us life, salvation, and this house of worship. We desire to give back to you what you gave to us. Take these gifts and offerings and bless them to the work of carrying the gospel to every nation, kindred, and tongue. May the poor be lifted and thy people be prospered because of their love and their willingness to give. Amen.
Good morning. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior as a servant of His that He has chosen. that he's called. I don't think he's chosen me yet, but I hope he will someday. It's very interesting. Excuse me. I had a little sinus problem this week, so my voice is a little crackly, and but I'll get through this. I'm sure the Lord will bless me. It's very interesting that Saturday the women came together and had a Christmas party. And my wife tells me one of the scriptures they read was out of John, or actually Luke, about John. As you've heard today several times, if you were at the priesthood meeting, you would have heard it again, about the angel message to John and Elizabeth, and about the other times that he was shown what he needed to do by an angel of the Lord. And that was going to be part of my sermon. So when I left the priesthood meeting this morning, something else was placed upon my mind by the Lord. And I thought it was very interesting. So I went home and spent about 30 minutes. I spent all day yesterday trying to prepare a sermon. I spent about 30 minutes this morning to try to prepare what the Lord wanted me to bring. So forgive me if it's a little scratchy here and there, but it's what the Lord placed on my mind that he wants us to hear and know about. Once again, as John was a servant of the Lord, and he was in the Levitical priesthood, which is Aaronic priesthood ministry. And Elizabeth was actually a descendant of Aaron. And he was part of what they call the preparatory gospel. The Aaronic priesthood is the preparatory gospel. And I'll talk to you a little bit more about that later. But John was preparing to the world to receive their Savior. And he went about preaching and teaching and baptizing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he was a Aaronic priesthood. He was preparing to meet Christ. And when he did meet Christ, he baptized Christ, as we all know. And that was his purpose. He was ordained in the womb for that purpose. I'm going to read to you out of section 83, 4C of the Doctrine and Covenants. And I'll start with Moses. Now, this Moses plainly taught the children of Israel in the wilderness and sought diligently to sanctify his people that they might behold the face of God. But they had hardened their hearts and could not endure his presence. Therefore the Lord in his wrath, where his anger was kindled against them, swore that they would not enter into his rest while in the wilderness, which rest is the fullness of his glory. Therefore he took Moses out of their midst, and the holy priesthood also. But the lesser priesthood continued, which priesthood holdeth the key of the ministering of angels and the preparatory gospel, which gospel is a gospel of repentance and of baptism and a remission of sin and the law of carnal commandments, which the Lord in his wrath caused to continue with the house of Aaron among the children of Israel until John, whom God raised up, being filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. For he was baptized while he was yet in his childhood, and was ordained by this angel of God at the time he was 8 days old into his power, to overthrow the kingdom of the Jews, to make straight the way of the Lord before the face of his people, to prepare them for the coming of the Lord, in whose hand is given all power. Once again, I believe we're at a time where the Aaronic priesthood is going to be preparing us for the coming of our Lord, his return. And I'm probably going to read a lot of scriptures today, but, you know, I can't say it as well as the scriptures write it. So I'm going to read to you again out of Malachi. And you've heard this many times before, and you maybe heard a little bit of it this morning. It says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide in the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. And he shall set as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purge the sons of Levi, and they may and purge them as gold and silver, and they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. That was John's purpose, to offer the Lord in righteousness. And that's our purpose today, and the Aaronic priesthood's purpose today, that we make an offering in righteousness before the Lord. And we as a people need to make this offering. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleased, pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against false swearers, against those things that oppress the hireling in his wages, and the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your father you have gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you say, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me and even this whole nation. Behold, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that you may have meat in my house. And prove unto me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not be destroyed, shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast your fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. You say that you have spoken as much against these. Yet you said it is vain to serve God, and that what profit that we have keep his ordinances, that we have walked continually before the Lord of hosts. Now we shall call the proud happy, yea, and they will work wickedness and are not up. Yet they that tempt God are even delivered. And reading on, then they that feared the Lord spake one off to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. We are to fear the Lord. We need to come together, as was mentioned today, of one heart and one mind. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. I will spare them as a man spareth his own son and serveth him. Then shall you return, discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth not. Pretty stout words, excuse me, but necessary words, I believe. I believe we have far too long walked in the paths of unrighteousness. We have walked in the paths of the adversary and of the world. But I know that it is possible, and the Lord's promise to us is that we can return to him, and he will return to us. In Timothy, it's interesting that CPRS Chapel this month, our theme is about study. Study to show thyself approved. In Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In Proverbs 1:7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In Proverbs 2:1, my son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou will incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart unto understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keeps the paths of judgment and preserves the way of his saints. And then shall understand righteousness and judgment and equality, yea, very good path, every good path. When wisdom entereth into the heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto my soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. Wonderful words from King David, who was a very wise man. And in the Proverbs. And in section 90, I'll go back to talking a little bit about John. And I believe this was John. Some believe it was John the Beloved. I think it was John the Baptist. But it doesn't matter. The words are what we need to understand and know about. And everybody wants to turn to section 90. I'll be reading a whole lot out of that. Once again, I apologize for reading all these scriptures, but I believe it's necessary. I even had to write them on paper so that I could, they're a little bigger. I have a hard time seeing these days, so forgive me for writing the scriptures down on a piece of paper. And I, John, bear record that I beheld his glory, the glory of Christ, as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, even the Spirit of truth, which came and dwelt in the flesh and dwelt among us. And I, John, saw that he received none of the fullness at first, but received grace for grace. And he received none of the fullness at first, but continued from grace to grace until he received the fullness. And thus he was called the Son of God, because he received not the fullness at first. And I, John, bear record that, lo, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Ghost descended upon him in the form of a dove, and sat upon him. And there came a voice out of heaven, saying, This is my beloved Son. I, John, bear record that he received the fullness of the glory of the Father. He received all power, both in heaven and in earth. The glory of the Father was with him, for he dwelt in him. And it shall come to pass, if you are faithful, you shall receive the fullness of the record of John. I give unto you these things that you may understand and know how to worship, and know what you worship, that ye may come unto the Father in my name, and in due time receive of his fullness. For if you keep my commandments, you shall receive of his fullness, and be glorified in me, as I am in the Father. Therefore I say unto you, receive grace for grace. And now verily I say unto you, I was in the beginning with the Father, the firstborn. And all those who are begotten through me are partakers of the glory of the same, and are the church of the firstborn. You also know in the beginning with the Father that which is spirit, even the spirit of truth. And truth is knowledge of things as they are and as they were and as they are to come. And whatsoever is more or less than this is the spirit of the wicked one, who is a liar from the beginning. The spirit of God is, the spirit of truth is of God. I am the spirit of truth, says Jesus. I added that, says Jesus. And John bore record of me, saying, He received the fullness of the truth, yea, even all truth. And no man receiveth the fullness unless he keep the commandments. He kept his commandments, received truth and light, until he was glorified in truth, and knoweth all things. Man was also in the beginning with God. Intelligence, or in the light of truth, was neither created or made. Neither indeed can be. Truth is independent in the sphere in which God has placed it, to act for himself, as all intelligence also. Otherwise, there is no existence. Behold, here is the agency of man, and here is the condemnation of man. Because that which was from the beginning is plainly manifest unto them, they receive not the light. And every man whose spirit receiveth not the light is under condemnation, for man is spirit. The elements are eternal, and spirit and element inseparably connected receive a fullness of joy. And when separated, man cannot receive a fullness of joy. The elements are the tabernacle of God. Yea, man is the tabernacle of God, even temples. And whatsoever temple is defiled, God shall destroy that temple. The glory of God is intelligence. In other words, light and truth. And light and truth forsaketh the evil one. Every spirit of man was innocent in the beginning. And God, having redeemed man from the fall, men became again in their infant state, innocent before God. And that wicked one cometh and take away light and truth through disobedience for the children of men, because of the traditions of their fathers. But I command you to bring your children up in light and truth. We receive grace for grace as we study and learn of Christ's ways. He gives us grace for our transgressions, for those things that we don't know. Until we learn better, then we are responsible for our actions and our deeds. We receive grace until we know better. The operation of grace is not to excuse sin. A circular pattern is put into effect through the ministry of grace, a pattern in which we can grow from grace to grace as our obedience increases according to our understanding. Romans 10:10 tells us that by His grace we become perfect in Christ. The aim of grace is to perfect us, not to justify our imperfections. Section 102, there's a day of calling, but the time has come for a day of choosing. To be called a priesthood office and be chosen are two separate issues. One must be called before one can be chosen, but being called does not make one chosen. The duty of the church is to become a chosen people. We think of offices in church, we frequently think of priests, teachers, deacons, etc. However, the member, the citizen of the kingdom, is also an office. All are called to the office of member. All are not chosen. The five faithful, unfaithful virgins in Matthew 25 were not chosen, only called. For this reason, Jesus warns us, "The straight is the gate, but narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it." The authority of the priesthood is the authority to establish righteousness, build up the kingdom, see that there is a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. Priesthood authority is also the authority to invite to that city. Once the city is established, then the kingdom of this world may be constrained to acknowledge the kingdom of Zion is very indeed the kingdom of our God in Christ. I think the Lord has given us a lot of good information there, a lot of understanding that we can use. But one thing I haven't said yet, I'm going to find my note here, talks about the sacrament. And the ordinances, like the sacrament, are for the perfecting of the saints. That's what we're told. And the priesthood who administer that order has to be chosen by God. And then they're set apart for that purpose and duty. John was set apart for that purpose and duty to baptize Christ. That was his sole purpose for coming. And to prepare the ones that would in orders of baptism that they might partake of that sacrament. And you know about the sacrament supper that the Lord saved, the Last Supper. We know about that, and that it is through that that we can return unto Him and continue to receive grace for grace. But don't let grace be an excuse for you. Don't let it cover up your imperfections. Confess your sins before the world and before the people and in your closets and wherever else you may be. For that is what the Lord has confined us to do. I also want to end with something that I thought about a couple of weeks ago, and I gave to the prayer class at CPRS. I thought, you know, why do we always use the 23rd Psalm at funerals? And we always use it there, and I don't know why, because it's such a beautiful psalm and has such a wonderful message in it for us. And Brother Bob realized that and brought that psalm to us on last Wednesday night, that we might consider those things in it, and that we might become better people. You know, we're not here to chastise or give you a scolding or anything like that. I sure don't want, from myself standpoint of view, I don't want to be like the brother Jared and the Lord spent 3 hours chastising me because I wasn't praying. I hope I never come across that. And I hope I'll always pray to the Lord and keep His commandments and try to do His will, at least try. And that's why we receive grace for grace, because we continue to try. And if we try, there's a promise. 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me. To promise to in the presence of mine enemies, then anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I think that's a beautiful thought and promise from our Lord and Savior. He gave it to King David to give it to us. I believe that this is the latter day, and I believe that soon the Lord is going to return, and we need to prepare ourselves for that return. And if you've listened today and wrote down those scriptures, put them in your mind. I know you read them before. Put them on your heart, write them there, and keep them. And the Lord will bless us, and we'll be a blessed and chosen people. Otherwise, we have no promise. May the Lord bless and keep you, is my prayer.
as the prayers are offered over the emblems by Presiding Elder Joe Williams, let us kneel facing the altar.
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of Thy Son, and witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of Thy Son, and always remember Him, and keep His commandments which He has given them, that they may always have His Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Brother Joe offers a blessing over the wine. Let us once again kneel facing the emblems.
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee, in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of Thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they do always remember Him, that they may have His Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Is there a portion that wishes to partake?
I'd like to share with you just briefly a thought that came to me as my earthly father was speaking this morning, and he mentioned briefly the parable of the 10 virgins. And I was reminded of section 45 of the Doctrine and Covenants. It says, "And at that day when I shall come in my glory, shall the parable be fulfilled which I spake concerning the 10 virgins. For they that are wise and have received the truth and have taken the Holy Spirit for their guide and have not been deceived, verily I say unto you, they shall not be hewn down and cast into the fire, but shall abide the day, and the earth shall be given unto them for an inheritance." And we know that in section 85, it speaks of inheritance of the earth, and how it is to be changed and crowned, and even that God the Father will reside with those that inherit the earth, which had been changed into that celestial glory. I was somewhat overcome, a bit surprised myself this morning as I endeavored to offer the prayer over the wine. I suppose you never know exactly when that Spirit will reach down and touch you in that way. And I had a great love come over me for you, so that I understood just a little of what it must be like, that love that God the Father has for you. And His Son, Jesus, has for you. He was so willing to lay down His life for us. And can scarcely comprehend that deep and abiding love that they have for His creation, for their creation, for you and for me. And I had such a love for you that I desired that we might together be in the kingdom, which is what this parable of the 10 virgins is about. And I pray, dear saints, that we might be wise and that we would have oil in our lamps, the Spirit, that we might enter in to that wedding ceremony when the bridegroom comes to claim His bride, which is the church. I pray that that might be us, and that we, together, can enjoy the feast that is prepared, and the joy of living together in celestial glory. Oh, what a day. What a day that will be. I pray that the Lord will bless us, that we indeed can endure to the end.
our Father in heaven, we have gathered to say in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we are so thankful for this place that we can come together. We are so thankful for this special time of year that we remember the miraculous way that you sent your Son into this earth to save us. And today, Father, we have remembered that great sacrifice that he gave for each of us. We thank you so much for his birth and for his life and for his sacrifice. And we thank you for the words from your servants that we have heard this day, the reminders of your grace and your providence, and the promise that we have that we could be among those who might inherit this earth in its celestial glory. And now, Father, I would pray that even as we have remembered your Son and have remembered you, our Father, that you might look down and behold these, your people. Father, each one has gathered this day into this place for a brief respite from the world. Each one comes in a different place in their journey in this life with burdens and joys and trials and tribulations that are part of this everyday life. And now we go back to that journey, Father, and we pray at this time your guiding hand and your blessing and your mercy to be upon each one, that truly, Father, we might be lifted up, that your people who are assembled here who have remembered you might be remembered by you and blessed and strengthened for the journey ahead. And that blessing I pray upon these thy people in the name of your Son, even Jesus Christ. Amen.